2012. Woo! You know, I don't know if you're the same as me, but every time I say 2012, first I want to say 2010. So weird. It's like my brain is stuck on the Soccer World Cup. I just keep on going back to 2010. But it's 2 years ago. It's 2012, and it is going to be a good year. Who's going to have a good year this year? Man, it's only going to get better and better and better. I don't know how good your 2011 was, but 2012 is going to be better. Amen? Oh, boy. Okay, somebody's not so sure in this place this morning. Okay, if you are under the age of 10, then we've got a little surprise for you. The artist formerly known as Liu is over there. Just give him a wave. Hello. So all the little ones, all the little kiddies, you need to follow Liu. Liu, will you please do a little walk here for us? You are leaving us right now. You are going out of the service. I don't know if the sword was the greatest idea. Come, little children. It's a lion with a sword. we should have given you like lollipops or something. Okay, so now's your... Okay, little children, now. One, two, three, now. Now. I really have an anointing. Children, really listen to me. Go with the lion now. Okay. Doesn't ever seem to work when I speak to kids. There they go. You know, it's funny. The difference between youth ministry and children's church for me can be summed up by what the parents do when they drop the kids off. If you look at three-year-olds and two-year-old classes, the mom and the dad drop off the kids, and they are there like for an hour. I love you. No, I love you more. And it's cuddles and it's cute. And, you know, it's like the hand on the glass, you know, and it's like this whole thing. When they're teenagers, they drop them off. And the problem is they don't come pick them up again. It's like, please come and fetch your teenager. You know, we'll have to switch the lights off. The electricity goes out already. But anyways, praise God. We're very, very excited about what the Lord is doing with young people. I want to say hello to the Rhenish girls. Hello, girls. Is this your first year in high school this year? Yes, it's going to be good. Amen. Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to read a little story for us this morning. Turn with me to the best book in the Bible. It's a scientific fact that this is the most anointed book in the Bible. Come with me to the book of Mark. Scholars believe that this is the only book that Jesus personally wrote. So come quickly to the book of Mark. Of course, I'm talking nonsense, but I am a youth pastor, and it's in my contract. I am allowed by law to speak a little bit of nonsense from time to time. Title of my message this morning is In the House. Somebody say In the House this morning. In the House. The theme for the month is being planted in the house of the Lord. And this morning, what I want to speak to you about a little bit is, it's not necessarily about the house itself, but it's a little bit more about what you find in the house. It's not inside, it's on top. Doesn't really make sense, but okay. Come with me quickly. Chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1, and I'm going to be reading a lot this morning. I'm going to be reading all the way to verse 12, and I'm going to start reading, and it says here, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house." Say this with me. Jesus was in the house. Come on. Say it with a little bit of attitude this morning. Jesus was in the house. When Jesus is in the house, the atmosphere changes. When Jesus is in the house, things start to change. When Jesus walks into the town, things start to happen. Listen to this here. Verse 2, it says here, "Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men." I'm going to be speaking about four men this morning. And I believe that these four men were young men, and I'll tell you why in a second. But check this out this morning. "And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was." That's why I believe that it was young men. Old people don't have enough energy for that. These young guys decided, we are going to get to this man called Jesus, even if we have to break the roof open. So that's what they did. They got onto the roof and they broke it open. They must have been from Johannesburg, because I know people in the Cape are way too dignified to break people's houses open. But they broke the roof open. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Listen to this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And I'm going to ask you to quickly just fast forward on your remote here quickly. Just skip to verse number 11. And Jesus says to the man, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I want to say to you this morning that when you live a life where your focus is on Jesus Christ, moments where you say, "I've never seen anything like this," becomes a regular thing in your life. I want to say to you that in the year 2012, there are going to be moments this year where God is going to do stuff where you are going to think, "Man, oh man, oh man, I have never seen anything like this," because you've never served a God as big as the one you're serving. Amen. So check what happens here. I'm going to take four things out of the story quickly this morning, and I'm going to summarize. But the first thing I want to take out of the story is that these four men had a problem. Now, that's very simple this morning, but these four men had a problem. If you look at the story, you see that these four guys were friends with a guy that was a paralytic. The Bible says he couldn't walk. We don't know what the history is here. We don't know how many places they've tried to get this guy help. We don't know what their background is. But what we do know is that these four guys have a problem in their lives. You know, I don't know about you, but I've come to realize something in my life. And that is that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. Every single one of us will experience at some point or another challenges in our lives. Amen? That's just the nature of life. That's just the way things go. Every single one of us at some stage or another will have problems that come. You know, it's funny. I've got three little girls. The one is 12, the one is 5, the one is 2. Yes, you can start interceding for me right now. I'll never forget a couple of nights ago. I was busy watching a movie. My 5-year-old came down the stairs and she said to me, "Dad, I really just want to watch this movie with you." And I said to her, "There's no ways you're going to watch this movie with me. You're going to go upstairs right now and you're going to go to bed." Now, I mean, I believe that my kids are extremely spoiled. I believe that they don't have any problems in the world at this stage. And, you know, I believe that it's funny. I don't know if you've seen with girls, but girls have three things that they go through when they're disappointed. First thing they do is the face. The cute puppy face comes out. If the face doesn't work, they move over to the cry. Okay? And if the cry doesn't work, that turns into anger. Okay? So what happened with her, she went through the three phases. First, she gave me the face. Then she gave me the cry. Then she got angry with me. And eventually, I just didn't budge. I was like, this is a moment. This is a defining moment in my parenting. I'm going to stand firm here. No, you're going upstairs and you're going to bed. So she starts walking upstairs. She's 5 years old. She gets about halfway up the stairs. She looks down at me. She goes, "Dad, I just realized something right now." I'm like, "Tell me what you realized, Vanessa." She says to me, "I just realized that sometimes life just isn't fair." I looked at her and I thought to myself, "You think life's not fair now? Get married, have kids, have a mother-in-law, then you'll see what unfair is." So she walked back upstairs. She was upstairs for about 5 minutes. So this is what happened. She comes back down the stairs again. I'm like, "Oh boy, you're testing me now." She's like, no, it's different this time. I'm like, she's 5. I'm like, "What's different?" She's like, "I went upstairs and I prayed because I felt upset about what had happened. Listen to this. The Lord has said, I must watch this movie with you." So I just thought to myself, she's 5 and spiritual manipulation is already happening. So I said to her, "I tell you what, my sweetheart, when the Lord tells me, I will run up there and get you out of your bed. Until that point, please go back to sleep." But it doesn't matter who we seem to be, there will always be issues that come our way. There will always be things in life that come that make us feel like we are really being challenged and we are really being tested. What I like about these four guys, and this is what I want to encourage you with this morning, and this is what I want to encourage you with for the year of 2012. 2012 is going to be an amazing year, but the tests and the trials will come because that's just how life works. But here's the question this morning. The question is not, do tests and trials come? But the question is, where do you take it when it arrives at your doorstep? Where do you take it when it arrives at your doorstep? What I love about these four guys is not so much the fact that they had a problem, but what I love about them is when the problem came in their lives, they knew that there was only one man they could go to. They knew that there was only one place that they could go to. The Bible says that Jesus was in the house. This morning we are in the house of the Lord, and I love how these four guys have an issue in their lives and they make a decision that it doesn't matter what circumstances we face, we are going to find ourselves in the house of the Lord and we are going to get ourselves into the presence of Jesus, because it is only in His presence where things start to get set free in your life, where things start to get released in your life. Are you with me this morning? Come with me quickly to Matthew, the book of Matthew. Come with me to chapter 6. I love the book of Matthew. Come with me, Matthew chapter 6. And this is a good one. We're going to somewhat read from verse 25. And if it's in red in your Bible, it means it's Jesus that's busy speaking. Then listen to what it says here. The caption here says, "Do not worry. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." This is Jesus speaking. "What will you eat or what will you drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And the woman said, "Amen." Okay. That went right over every lady's head in the place. Okay, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? Which of you worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." Now what I want you to do is I want you to fast forward to verse 31. Listen to what it says here. "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." I love this verse. Time to open up and listen to this. Listen to what it says here, verse 33. This is a verse that you should know. Matthew 6 verse 33 says this: "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." Do not worry about tomorrow. You know, even last night, I was lying in my bed and I just started to think about the year. I started to think about everything that's happening this year and I got excited. But you know, whenever it comes to thinking about the future, whenever it comes to thinking about tomorrow, it's hard sometimes not to get a little bit anxious. I know for some of you, you're starting high school fresh, you're starting maybe a new job, you're starting maybe a new venture in some way or in some sort, but I know it's very difficult sometimes not to feel anxious, not to feel nervous, and I love what Jesus says here. He says, listen, when you find yourself in this position where you start to feel nervous, where you start to feel anxious, when you find yourself in a position where the tests and trials of life start knocking on your door, this is what you need to do. It says this: seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, a couple of years ago, I did a study on that word kingdom, and you're going to love this. When the Bible speaks about kingdom in this context, what it's saying is, it's speaking about the king and his presence. When it speaks about kingdom here, it's speaking about the king and his presence. So what the Bible is saying here, what Jesus is saying is, hey, when you feel the temptation to take your problems to fear and to anxiety and to stress, I want to say to you, instead of going to those places, bring everything that you have to the King and His presence, because it is out of that place, it is out of that space that things can be worked out in your life. Second thing he says here, which I really love, and I'm not going to touch on it too much this morning, but he says here, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Isn't it interesting that the Bible doesn't say seek the kingdom and your righteousness? The Bible is saying, hey, When you get to that place where you feel a little freaked out, get into the King's presence and allow His goodness, allow His righteousness, allow His mercy, allow His healing. Is somebody with me in this place this morning? Allow His power to start to wash over your life this morning. Amen? People are excited this morning. Okay, second thing I took out of the story here. Second thing I want to focus on is, number one, this morning, these four guys had a problem. Number two, it says here that when they tried to get into the house, the crowd stood in their way. The crowd stood in their way. What I love about these four guys is that this, for me, is the defining moment in this story. The defining moment for me in the story is not necessarily that they had the desire to get into the Lord's presence, because let's be honest, I think a lot of us here this morning, yeah, you know, you wake up and you think to yourself, yeah, it would be good. I probably should pray now a little bit, or I probably should do this a little bit. But what I love about this story is they put in the effort, they put in the commitment, they've got their friend, they get to the door, and surprise, surprise, it's full. There's a crowd standing in front of them. I don't know about you, but if that was me, it's at that point where I would probably turn to my wife and say, well, church is full. We gave it a shot. If we hurry up, we can still make the McDonald's breakfast. Hey, we tried. You know what I mean? High five for trying. I know none of you would do that. That's just unspiritual me. But at that point, I would probably turn around and say, hey, the church is full. There's nothing more we can do. Let's go. I've come to realize in my life that whenever you actually want to start spending time in the presence of God, there's always going to be a crowd in the way. There's always going to be a crowd in the way. This morning, when I think about crowds, I think about two things. You know, if you go to Newlands Rugby Stadium, or if you go to even a better rugby stadium like Ellis Park, where there's victories and trophies and stuff, and a winning team, and coaches, and that kind of thing. But if you go to like a stadium and watch a rugby game and you're sitting in a big crowd, I've noticed that there's always two things that stand out for me about being a crowd. The one is busyness. Don't know if you've realized that crowds are busy. When you just look out on the crowd, there's always movement. There's always something happening. The second thing I've realized about a crowd is that crowds are noisy. Crowds are noisy. I have come to realize that there are two things that will always come and attack you when you are preparing yourself to get into the presence of the Lord. And the first one is busyness. Isn't it amazing how whenever you really now gear yourself up to spend time in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden all the list of other things you should be doing pops into your head? Okay, again, this is just me. But I mean, my wife will come to me and she'll say to me, whoa, don't fall off the stage. I would have just walked straight off in midair and turned back, but I don't want to impress you this morning. My wife would say to me, Mark, the shower is busy leaking, will you fix it? She'll say this to me for months. And I'll be like, yeah, I really should fix it. Showers, fixing it, that's more important than a lot of other things. I'll get to it. And you just kind of put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. And it's amazing how then you'll sit one afternoon, and the kids are out of the house, and the wife is out of the house, and you've actually got a bit of time really to reflect, you've got a bit of time really to pray, and you sit down, and you've got your Bible open, and everything is ready, and just as you're about to start, first thing that happens is, man, I'm kind of a little thirsty. Just need a good water before a good prayer time is vital. So let me just go get my water. Seat comfy, ready for this. I had too much water, quickly to the toilet. Okay, now I'm back again. Now I'm ready. I'm ready now for the prayer. And it's amazing, just before you start to spend time in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden this will pop into your head. But you know, the Bible says you're supposed to be a good husband. A good husband would fix that shower. I really believe right now that probably now is a good time. I will get to this time with the Lord, but let me first go do the shower. Let me first go fix the car. I have come to realize that one of the things that you are going to battle when it comes to that place where you're spending time in the presence of the Lord is we have to make it a priority. We have to tell ourselves, hey man, there's nothing more important right now than spending time in the Lord. And I've come to realize that when I do that, when I give myself the chance to spend a bit of time in His presence, it's amazing how the other things just seem to flow with ease. Are you with me this morning? Second thing is noise. I want to say to you this morning that when you go into a crowd, one of the things I've realized with a crowd, it's impossible sometimes to get a crowd to be quiet. Except in church, it seems pretty easy in church. But in other places, when there's a crowd, it's hard to get them quiet. Have you ever been in a stadium where they say, so-and-so died, and now we're going to have a minute's silence? That seems to be the most impossible thing to do in a stadium, because what will happen is the minute silence will start, and you won't even be 10 seconds into the minutes of silence, and then you'll hear this. Woo-hoo! Some idiot somewhere in the stadium goes, woo-hoo! And you're standing there in this minute of silence, you're going, that is so rude. Man, but it's funny. And you want to laugh, but then you don't. And it seems like silence is one of the enemies that a crowd has to face. I want to say to you this morning that I believe with all of my heart that one of the things that we are going to have to deal with as a generation, more than any other thing, is we are going to have to deal with the giant of noise in our lives. We are going to have to deal with the giant of noise in our lives. You know, you hear people speak and they say things like, yo, man, we're in the end times. Things are getting worse than ever. Listen to me. In a lot of ways, we're not worse than ever. There was a time where they fed Christians to this oak that walked out of the room here this morning, okay? Murder has been around forever. Sexual sin has been around forever. A lot of these things have been around forever. There's nothing new under the sun. But I want to say this to you. This has not been around forever. And I've come to realize that one of the biggest problems in our generation is that we are so flooded with voices. We are so overflown with voices that sometimes it can be very difficult to distinguish what God is actually trying to do in our lives. Sometimes it can be very, very hard to even in the presence of God find that peace, find that rest, find that place where we can actually hear what he's saying because of all the noise in our lives. I want to show you something quickly. Is the youth band here somewhere? I need you, Lundy, quickly, but we're running out of time, so I need you very quickly. Are you in here somewhere? If they're not, then we'll just quickly move on. They're not. No, that's fine. We'll just move on quickly. I will deal with this. I will deal with this with a firm hand when the youth services start. They shall sit and listen to every word I have to say. But what I wanted to illustrate this morning is that if you have somebody playing gently on that piano, and that's all you have in this room, then you can hear it clearly. But if I have somebody bashing on the drums, if I have somebody shredding the guitar, if I have somebody screaming on the microphone, if I have somebody else doing something else, all of a sudden what happens is that the sound of that piano gets completely drowned out by the other noises. And I believe that that is exactly what happens in our lives sometimes when it comes to dealing with the Lord. I believe sometimes we find ourselves in places where we go, God, where are you? I can't hear your voice. Why are you not speaking to me? Why am I by myself? Where are you? And I believe at times God is there all along. He's busy speaking to you all along. But there's so much other noise happening in your life. There's so many other things going on in your life that it becomes difficult to hear what the Lord is trying to say. I love the story of Elijah where the Bible says Elijah goes and he looks for the voice of the Lord in this big storm, and he looks for the voice of the Lord in a big hurricane, and he looks for the voice of the Lord in a big earthquake. He's looking for God in all these big things, but one translation says he finds God in a whisper. He finds God in a still, small voice. I want to encourage you this year to get to that place where you are silent, to get to that place where you quiet your head so that you can hear your heart, because that's where God will speak. Listen to what it says here. Proverbs 3 verses 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I believe that that is one of the scriptures in our time that we're living in now that is one of the hardest to deal with. Because we seem to think that the more knowledge is power, amen? The more we know, the more we train ourselves, the more knowledge we get, the better we'll be at handling life. But the truth is the louder this becomes, the further we drift away from the heart. The further we drift away from the heart, the further we drift away from hearing that still, small voice. Are you with me this morning? Okay, so number one this morning, these four guys had a problem, but it's not about the problem. It's about where you take the problem. Number two, there was a crowd in front of them. They had to deal with the busyness and with the noise. Number three, and this is amazing. I want you to see this morning. Jesus saw their faith. You actually need to come with me here. Look at this quickly. Verse 5. You've got to actually see this for yourself. Look at what it says here in verse 5. Mark 2, verse 5. Listen to what it says here. Now, you know the story. These four guys come. They can't get into the church. They climb onto the roof. They break open the roof. And they start to gypo this guy through the roof on little ropes or something. I don't know what they used. But this guy, can you imagine we're sitting in church on Sunday and we just hear, and all of a sudden a guy on a makeshift bed comes floating down in the middle of the service. That would be so cool, and we're going to try to do that in the youth one Sunday. but with our luck, the guy will fall off and then break his leg or something. But anyways, but when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. What I love about this piece of scripture is they never said anything. We don't know who these guys are. The Bible doesn't say these are four Bible school graduates that went on a million mission trips and now they are in the service. It doesn't say that. The Bible literally says there are four guys. As far as we know, they are four bank robbers, and this guy is the guy that drives the car away. That's why he needs a healing. We don't know who this guy is. We don't know who they are. We don't know how spiritual they are. We don't know what problems they have. All the Bible says is there are four guys. They come into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and this is Jesus' response. He sees their faith. I want to say to you this morning that I believe with all of my heart that at times one of the mistakes we have made is that we have had the attitude of saying getting to Jesus is only half the battle. When we get to him, oh boy, then there's a whole bunch of other things that need to happen. Then we need to say the right thing, do the right thing, bring the right offering, do the right this, do the right that. The Bible doesn't say any of that in this story. The Bible says four normal guys. Most probably guys that are not the most spiritual guys in the world, just four ordinary guys like you and like me, find themselves in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says Jesus sees their hearts, and the Bible says that he sees their faith. Isn't that unbelievable this morning? I want to encourage you with this morning. Forget all the other stuff sometimes, because we can make it so complicated sometimes. Believe you me, I went to Bible school, and sometimes you can get so clever and you can get so smart, and there are so many formulas and there's so many things that you should do that you actually start to confuse yourself. Let me make it simple for you this morning. Get yourself into the presence of Jesus Christ and let him do the work. Let him take care of all the other little things. Let him start to whisper in your heart what needs to happen and what mustn't need to happen. Allow him to come and do a work on the inside of you. Are you with me this morning? These four guys find themselves in the presence of the Lord, and the Bible says that Jesus sees their faith. I don't have time to go into this morning because we've run out of time a little bit. But Hebrews 12 verses 2, please come with me there. It is such a beautiful piece of scripture. Hebrews 12 verses 2. And I love this piece of scripture. It's one of my favorites. And I'm going to start reading from verse 1. But listen to what it says here. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay, this is very simple here. What the Bible is saying is hey, every single one of you have a calling in your lives. Every single one of you have a purpose in your lives. Every single one of you have a race that is set before you. Hey, I've got news for you. You are not here by accident this morning. You are not a waste of space this morning. God has a plan for your life. God has things that he wants to do through your life. And the Bible says here, let every single one of us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hey man, that's fantastic, but how do I do that? Verse 2 tells us immediately. Listen to what it says. I love the Bible. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. I want to say to you this morning that your faith begins, ends, and middles in the person of who Jesus Christ is this morning. It is when we come to Him. It is when we start to look at Him. It is when we start to spend time in His presence. It is as we walk a road with Him that He will start to take us from glory to glory. It is as we look at Him that we will go from a place where we are little in faith to go to a place where we have faith to move mountains. It's not about your faith. It's about finding your faith in who He is. And I believe with all of my heart this morning that when we recognize who Christ is, when we recognize Him as the Savior this morning, when we recognize Him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings this morning, He recognizes our faith this morning. I don't have time to go into it, but there's two beautiful stories in the Bible, and I'm almost done this morning. But the first one is, again in the book of Mark, it's Mark chapter 4, and it's verse 35 to verse 41. You can go read the story for yourself. But I love what happens in the story. The Bible says that Jesus is in the boat and the disciples are in the boat. And Jesus says to the disciples, we are going to the other side. And what happens is that as they are on their way to the other side, the Bible says that a great storm arises. And what happens is the disciples, I love this, wake Jesus up in the boat and they say this to Him. Do you not care that we are perishing? Okay. Just hang with me for a second here. He is the Savior of the world. Are you with me? He is the lifesaver. He is the lighthouse. He is the bread of life. He has literally come to the earth to save and seek that which is lost. And now the disciples come to Him and say to Him, do you not care that we are perishing? If there was ever a moment where they did not recognize who this man was, I'm telling you now, this was it. To ask Jesus if He doesn't care that you are lost is like asking the Lions if they don't want to win the Curry Cup. It doesn't make any sense. They've missed it completely. And what happens is that right after that, I love this, right after that, Jesus calms the storm and His response is this, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. There's another story, and it's in Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13, and you can go read this in your own time. But this story is about the centurion. The centurion is a Roman. He's not even a religious person, and he comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, listen, there's somebody sick. Will you please heal them? Will you please pray for them? And Jesus says, no problem. I will pray for them. Let us go to your house. And this man says, no. I don't think you have to come to my house. Because I recognize an authority in you. I recognize a Godship in you. I recognize the Savior in you. If you will only speak it, yeah, I believe that it will happen. And Jesus turns around and He says, I have not found faith like this even in Jerusalem. What's the difference between the two? The difference is that they completely missed who Jesus was where this man recognized who Jesus was. He recognized something in the characteristic of Jesus. And I believe with all of my heart this morning that it is as we look onto Christ, it is as we recognize Him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, it is as we recognize Him as our provider, as our healer, as our Savior, that He starts to recognize the faith on the inside of us. Amen. I can only assume that this is so good you're just speechless this morning. Amen. Listen hard. Don't listen to me with that tone. Okay. Number one this morning. Four guys had a problem. Number two, I'm almost done this morning. There was a crowd in the way. Number three, Jesus recognized their faith. And number four, this is the last thing this morning. He gives the man grace. He gives the man grace. Look at what happens here. This is so amazing. Come back with me to verse 5 and look at what Jesus does. And it doesn't actually make sense at all when you look at it. But what happens is they lower this man down. He's on a bed. I think it's clear to everybody at this stage in the game that this guy needs a healing. Are you with me? He's lying on a bed. He's paralyzed. He couldn't walk into the building. It is very clear. This is one of those no-brainers. This is one of those, Jesus doesn't really have to ask what he needs to pray for in this situation. Everybody can see what this guy is here for. But listen to what Jesus says. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. But now, why not say, son, you are healed? You're here for a healing. Why say, son, your sins are forgiven you? Let's quickly fast forward here. Listen to this. Verse 9. And this is Jesus speaking right after this. And he says this, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all. And I want to say to you this morning that I believe with all of my heart that everything in our lives stem out of a place where we understand that God loves us and where we understand that God has forgiven us of our sins. And this morning, maybe you're sitting here and there's certain things that you're trusting the Lord for. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, you know what, I don't have enough faith. I've got so many things in my life that's not happening. I've got so many things in my life that's wrong. But this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to say to you, be like the four guys. Get yourselves at the foot of the cross. Get yourselves in a position where it's not about you anymore. It's not about your problem anymore. It's not about your holiness anymore. It's not about your stuff anymore. But it's about getting to that place where you put your focus on who Christ is. Where you put your focus on who Jesus is. Because I believe that it is when we get into that place where two things will start to happen to you. Number one, he will start to see your faith. And he will start to grow your faith from glory to glory. Number two, when we come to him, what we will find is love. What we will find is acceptance. What we will find is his grace. I heard this quote somewhere, and I think this is so beautiful. I heard somebody say this once. The world is not looking for happiness, but the world is looking for forgiveness. I believe that when we come to him just as we are, with an unveiled face, he will start to transform us from the inside out. 1 John 4 verses 19 says this. It says that we love him because he first loved us. And this morning, I believe that everything stems out of that place. Everything flows out of that place this morning of knowing that God is for you. He is not against you this morning. Amen. The one that lives on the inside of you is greater than the one that lives in the world. Amen. Knowing this morning that he loves you, he forgives you, he's got a plan for your life this morning. I'm going to ask us to stand in this place. And I'm going to end one last time. One last time, I'm just going to go look at Matthew 6 verses 33. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added in your life. Maybe you're in this place this morning and man, you're trusting God for a healing just like these four guys. Maybe you're in this place this morning and you are trusting God for a financial breakthrough. Maybe you're trusting God for all kinds of things. You're trusting God for your kids. You're trusting God for your future. You're trusting God for so many different things. And listen, I know exactly what it's like because I'm a guy that has to earn a salary. I'm a guy that has to take care of my kids. I'm a guy that has to do a lot of things. And I think what starts to happen in your life is that you get so caught up with trying to fix it all yourself that it's so difficult not to get into that mindset. Were you lying awake at night and you're just busy thinking over it, over and over and over, how am I going to fix this problem? How am I going to solve this problem? Maybe I'm going to speak to this person. Maybe I should try to do this. Maybe I should try to do that. And what I've started to realize is that is exactly at times where the devil wants us, because when you go into that panic mode, that's when you start to manufacture things in the flesh in your life. And I believe with all of my heart this morning that the word for us here this morning is that when we find ourselves in that situation, when we find ourselves in that place where we want to stress and we want to be anxious and we want to get panicked and we want to fix it all, just get back to that place where the Bible says, seek the King and his presence. It's that simple this morning. It's a childlike faith this morning. Just get to where Jesus is this morning. Just get to where Jesus is this morning and allow him to come and do something in your life that you cannot do in your own ability. So right now, I want us to just close our eyes all over this place. And I'm going to do an invitation in a minute. But just before I get to that this morning, if you're in this place this morning and maybe there are certain things that you're struggling with this morning, maybe you're struggling with sin this morning. And every time you come into this building, you feel condemned. You feel condemnation. Every time you lift your hands in worship, you can't help but feel, man, I'm not worthy. I shouldn't be here. Maybe you're struggling with sickness or disease in your body this morning. Maybe there's a whole bunch of things that you're struggling with this morning. But just right now, just for the next 1 minute in this place, just close your eyes, just lift up your hands. Just allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come and do something special in your life this morning.